Okay, 1 minute past one. I'm here. Barry's here.
Hello.
Welsh Dave's here.
Hello.
Sam's here.
Hello.
What do you think of today's show, Barry? You were totally sober, so was I.
Well, I'm always totally sober. I just sometimes hung over.
There was one where you smelt of the booze. There was one where you had to have an extra strong mint or a polo, wasn't there?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Did you enjoy it today?
Yeah, it was all right.
We were live on Facebook.
Yeah. It was a bit disconcerting.
You didn't know what Facebook was.
Well, no, I know what Facebook is. I'm just not really sure how it works because I'm not on it.
We balanced the phone on a cafetiere.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I believe is a middle-class way
of
doing Facebook Live. But we remain men of the people, astonishingly.
How do you say that? I think I'm better than the people.
Oh, okay, fine. There was lots of stuff on today's show. Like, I mean, I think that podcast might be quite long. Barry did a quiz about birthdays. We reviewed the FA Cup games. I made what I thought was a funny comment about being punched in the face, and Barry had literally no reaction to it. I really thought that would be a high point. But
I've a confession to make.
Oh, what is it?
You know, our footballer's a nice guest.
Tony Warner?
Yeah.
You didn't know who it was?
No, I know who he is, yeah. But up until I heard him speak, I had former QPR midfielder. I had a moment, Gary O'Neill.
Yeah.
I thought we were interviewing a different goalkeeper.
Who did you think we were interviewing?
The former Wolves keeper who does...
Matt Murray.
Ah. I saw Tony Warner, and for some reason, I thought it was Matt Murray.
Well, I got Mickey Quinn and Mickey Gray muddled up, so, you know, that's not easy to do, is it? Anyway, look, here's everything that happened at the first ever televised game of Culver House. Footballers are nice, lots of other things. Hope you enjoy it.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, The Warm-Up with Max Rushton on Talk Sport.
Good morning, everybody. This is the world's biggest sports radio station. Max Rushton and Barry Glendenning here on the warm-up, building up to some big FA Cup third round fixtures. The magic of the cup. Commentary here of Liverpool, Plymouth and Spurs, Aston Villa here right on TalkSport, the world's biggest sports radio station. Barry Glendenning, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's dry. You're doing dry January, Barry, aren't
yeah,
you?
I am.
You're clean shaven.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you've lost a pound or two already.
I have.
Have you?
I think so. Yeah.
And you're just full of life. It's a different Barry.
Is it a Barry you respect? Is it a Barry you could learn to love?
I already love you, Barry.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like when people say, oh, you know, when you know, the Jamie Redknapps of this world say, who's that comedian you do the show with? I say, not a comedian. But I say, it's Barry, great. It's a great guy. Like him.
What did Jamie Redknapp say?
He said, oh. See you later. Yeah. So
you're doing it as well.
I am, yeah. Do you want to hear this is the text chat between me and Barry from this week. Wednesday 10:28 p.m. from Barry. Do you want to read yours?
Hold on. I'll get your phone out.
If you want to text the show today, we're doing inappropriately dressed footballers you've seen. Can we build a team inappropriately dressed footballers, please? I think it's going to be... Alan Redhead says, Tony Cascarino in a Celtic strip was inappropriate. All right, Cas probably still in the office. Anyway, we'll stick him
Sorry,
up front.
Sorry, I'm afraid I appear
have you deleted
to have deleted that text. The earliest one I have from...
Are you sort of anal with text messages and you delete them as they
yeah,
come?
Yeah, I'm the oh, same really? With Sky Plus. If it goes over 50%, I start to panic.
Oh, yeah, I know. I understand that one. I know what you delete, yeah. And then you delete the one you still haven't watched yet. Okay. 10:28 Wednesday.
Is 50% too little, though?
I would get down to 20% on the Sky Plus box.
And oh, really? I couldn't live.
Could you not?
No, I wouldn't be able to
the thing
focus
for me,
on
the
anything.
The thing for me is, if it goes past 0%, the only thing that's not going to get recorded is one of the many reality programmes that the future Mrs. Rushton watches, so it's not a disaster.
Right.
I won't get one of the Kardashians or one of the dance mums, which are offensive things for me. Okay, so Barry, 10:28, Wednesday night. Have you cracked yet? I am absolutely hanging for a pint on day four. I'm so bleeping bored, I just tidied and cleared out my man drawer and compartmentalised it using old boxes. There is a photo of his boxes. There's a little razor in there. I'll tweet that out, that picture. To which I replied, ha, 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 ha. I'm dry and I feel like a new man. Just get up singing, excited to face the day. Which was not entirely true. On Friday at 10 to 4. I'm dying, says Max. If I get through tonight, I will be amazed. Brackets. Drinking, not living. Close brackets. Barry, I'm in a pub now drinking sparkling water with lime. It's just not right. Then he sends a photo of sparkling water with lime. Yesterday, 3:30, Max to Barry. I am so close to cracking. Barry, just crack. I'm doing it for a bet and health reasons. You're not a bleep head and don't have a bet with anyone. To which I said, that is not the motivational text I require. So look, we...
Well, I was hoping you would crack and then I could text you to let you know how weak you are.
Well, you know, I'm not hating it. I read an interesting article about how people shouldn't do it because all they do is moan about it on social media, and now we're just moaning about it on national radio.
Well, there's a friend of mine who's a proper bona fide recovering alcoholic who hasn't drank in about 15 years, and he thinks doing Dry January is a terrible thing because he says as long as you have a date in mind that you can, you know, start caning it again, you're just not doing yourself any favours. It's She says it's completely pointless.
Okay. Well, there we are. So stop doing it.
Yeah.
Can I stop this afternoon?
If you want.
Okay, great. Would you like the agenda for today's show?
Yes, please.
Okay, here's how the show works. We have a 10-point agenda on the warm-up. It's been going 3 years now, this agenda. It's a 10-point agenda. If we achieve everything on it, then that's good for us. You know, well done. And well done, you guys, as well. And if we don't achieve it, it doesn't matter, because nothing in life really matters. It's all pointless. Okay, point one, we talk inappropriately dressed footballers. Point two, Max and Barry's FA Cup review is here. A lot of games to get through. Many
games. I give up after seven.
Too many games. They should cut the number of teams in the FA Cup, frankly. We just went on forever.
Only have Premier League teams.
Yeah, absolutely right. Good idea. Then the magic would be back. Yeah. Is the magic back? Text us. No, don't, please. We don't want to do that one. Point three. Guess the attendance has a week off as Barry has a new quiz that took half an hour to prepare. How are you feeling about this, Barry?
I'm confident. It's strong. The people at home can play along.
Oh, great. So it's an interactive quiz.
If there's no prizes, just for fun.
Okay.
But what time-ish?
We think about 12:20 we'll be doing Barry's new quiz. It may be me versus John McClure from Reverend of the Makers.
So clear a window. If you're at home, you will enjoy this quiz. I am confident. Anyone can play. It's a strong quiz. I think everyone will like it.
Okay, I'm excited. Okay. Point five.
It's also quite difficult.
Okay. Point four, we find out what Alan McAnally is wearing. He was just in a towel last week. Point five, we talk to a famous Plymouth fan on his way to Anfield. Point six, we take Ray Stubbs to another place. Point seven, we find out if an ex-Liverpool keeper has more tellies than David O'Leary. Point eight, we raise our game for the Ben Shepherd 3 minutes. Oh, is there a Ben Shepherd 3 minutes? Maybe they've got a week off.
I saw them on TV.
Oh, okay.
Did you see Ben Shepherd and Chris Camara's new TV show last night?
Oh, what, Ninja Warriors? Was there someone who looked like me? Because I got a lot of tweets saying, well done on Ninja Warriors.
I didn't see it. What I did see was a man dressed as a banana negotiating a sort of a gladiator-style assault course.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
This is what Dry January's done for you.
I'm not sure
it?
Whether Ben and Chris should be proud of themselves about this new TV departure. Well, what do they call those?
Like an assault course?
No, but if you're presenting one of those sort of
prime time
Saturday evening light entertainment shows, there's a word for it. Something to do with shiny floor or something
it's
like
that. It's proper telly, isn't it? We should aspire to it, Barry. We could do The Voice. I was watching The Voice. I could do that.
I've never seen The Voice. I've never seen The X Factor.
Really?
Never.
Ever?
I've never.
The only one
I've seen Britain's Got Talent. I've seen one episode of that. Pardon?
We could go on.
I thought it was absolutely garbage.
Look, point six, we take Ray Stubbs to another place. Point seven, we find out of an ex-Liverpool keeper has more tellies than David O'Leary. Point eight, we raise our gate. Oh, no, we've done that. I've done all this. Point nine, he hasn't. Dry January is not helping my memory, if that's any way to go. Point nine, we speak to John McClure about Sheffield Wednesday. I like John McClure. point 10, the 10th point does not exist
anymore. If
he's anymore.
A proper reverend, shouldn't he be saying mass around?
I don't believe he's a proper reverend, Barry, but you can, you know, he's probably never been asked that before. So you could try that. That could be your witty question.
You think?
But John, perhaps avoid it. All right, so that's the agenda. Look, we've got the Mick Hucknall Pelé anecdote as a contingency if the show's not going well, but it's a very busy show. I'm going to try and do it live on Facebook. I've got a Facebook page with like no likes, so like it doesn't matter, like, you know, and I'll try and fix the camera, the phone up there. We'll be live on that because it's, you know,
can you do that?
Yeah,
see, I'm not on Facebook.
Are you not?
No.
Oh, okay, well, I'll just stick it on there and then
that could be another project for me for my now that I've all this spare time on my hands.
Because what you'll do, you'll become like, you'll start exercising and then you'll just go on Facebook saying, "Ah, isn't life amazing? I've learnt so much," and people will hate you.
Oh, no, I'm not preachy like that.
No, but you'll become that.
I did sanctimoniously tut-tut a friend of mine yesterday for being too drunk.
Mm-hmm.
That
you have changed.
Yeah. Well, it's not often I get the moral high ground, so I do think I should take advantage of it while I'm up here. It's a lonely place, though, Max. A very lonely place.
For the team, Rollo says, self-styled fashionista Robbie Savage, big friend of yours, Barry, lived next door to my uncle during his time at Leicester City Football Club. A cravat would be the least of his crimes.
Max and Barry's Premier League review on TalkSport.
Is now, Barry, because we're live on the screen. Ben Bailey on Facebook writes, "It's working." Andy Dawson from the excellent Atletico Mints and presenter of The Late Tackle on the Saturday night is on a train and is watching it.
How do they look at this? Sorry, I'm a bit of a Luddite.
Well, it's Facebook. If you have Facebook, it's like if you have Twitter. It's the same sort of thing.
Okay, right.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Then, you know, you can just log in and then I've tweeted a link. People will find it. We'll find out how many people watch it. It'll be like six.
So, but, like, they can see I'm chewing my pen.
Exactly right. Right, look, loads of games in the FA Cup. Yeah. Look, I wanted to start on this. The TV criticism for not putting, you know, League Two versus non-league on the telly and always putting Manchester United on.
Yeah, what, that criticism. 55 games in a row, Manchester United in the FA Cup have been broadcast live on television.
That criticism comes from people who don't go and watch League Two football. I'm convinced about it. Because if you go and watch, you know, I have watched League Two football for years and years and years and years and years. That's enough. I don't need to see it on telly when it's not my team because it's not very good.
Well,
you disagree with me.
I don't necessarily disagree. What I find objectionable is the hypocrisy of the BBC, who constantly mither on about the magic of the cup, the romance of the cup. They show, how many times have they shown that bloody Ronnie Radford fluke? You know, digging the ball out of the muck, and you know,
let's not,
Dave
to be
Besson's
fair,
penalty
to,
save,
to
blah,
fair,
blah, blah. Romance, romance. The Culture fair, Club have beaten the... What was it? The
I was whoever. Just going to say, he does catch it well, Radford.
I did, yeah. He got his foot around it.
Yeah.
But, and then they show Manchester City against West Ham.
I missed this game because I was...
In the romance stakes, isn't so much Mills and Boone or Barbara Cartland as some sort of... terrible movie,
like a rom-com, Hollywood rom-com.
That's yeah, Marley and Me.
Okay,
that's,
oh, that's bad comparison, isn't it? I missed this game because I was at the ballet. I'm a man of the people. It's important
how was
to say.
The ballet?
I took the future Mrs. Rushton to the Nutcracker. She likes the ballet. That's where she is now. She does it on a Sunday, and I took her to see the Nutcracker. God, boring. I mean, if I look,
so, are you just saying that to be laddie now?
No,
I'd
no,
quite
no.
like to go and see the ballet sometime.
No,
but
seriously.
I think I would. It would be lost on me.
I quite like. I quite like a musical because there's a bit of talking. Like, there's zero communication. Right, they're well organised. Two banks of four. The movement's great. There's no end product. There's no talking. However, the buttocks on the lead male. Wow.
I mean, that's always crack nuts.
Seriously, they were like two raw iron ball. They were incredible. Well, it was like two mitre size fives, fully pumped, fused together. I couldn't, honestly, for the first half, could not take my eyes off them.
Do you reckon they say he or his co-star,
mm-hmm.
would they be as fit or fitter than professional athletes?
Fitter.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely.
And was this...
Because they're doing it 8 times a week. You know, that these guys are complaining about the fixture congestion. It's less of a contact sport.
Was this top flight ballet you were watching?
This is literally... This
elite.
This is like El Clasico.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. This, so I was watching Real v Barcelona. It wasn't Cambridge United versus Scunthorpe.
Right.
You know, this was right at the top.
Yeah. I'd quite like to... I've never been to ballet. I've never been to the opera. I'd quite like to go to both just... Yeah. To see what they're like, but
there is a brilliant.
I think I would enjoy the opera more.
Do you know what? I'll tweet out a brilliant thing that I've been to opera again. A bit noisy for me, but there's a guy at the Royal some opera around here, and he takes 3 Chelsea fans, proper diehard Chelsea fans, to it, and it's absolutely brilliant. Like the way that some of these old Chelsea boys who love Scar and they're big Madness fans, and they go. I'll tweet out the link. It is great. Anyway, I missed that game, so well done, City.
Okay.
Ipswich Lincoln 2-2. All I've written is. The local radio commentator, because they used the local radio commentary on Match of the Day, needs a lozenge.
Right.
You got anything?
No, nothing on that.
Wickham Stourbridge. Gareth Ainsworth had a nice open-necked shirt with his jacket.
I would say Gareth Ainsworth's arguably the coolest manager in the English Football League.
Okay, big shout. Well done, Wickham. Anyway. Millwall Bournemouth. Steve Morrison, terrible miss. I wondered if he was already thinking about taking his son to Nando's. That was my thought on that game.
Steve Morrison was on Georgie and Cass's show earlier. And
was he?
Yeah, they say, and it's Steve Morrison's on the line. And Cass's first question was, how did you miss that? He scored a goal. They won 3-0 against Premier League opposition. And Cass's first question, you know, the little icebreaker. How the hell did you miss that? And, I mean, of all people...
we're going to try and do all the games in 5 minutes.
Millwall disguised as Newcastle. Why? That was the note I took.
Very good question. I don't know the answer. Stoke, Wolves. I've got no notes, but well done.
I have. Peter Crouch's terrible miss, worse than Steve Morrison's. The Wolves keeper he turned into an octopus.
Mm-hmm.
He was outstanding. Wolves' first FA Cup win in 6 years. And they had a 16-year-old playing for them.
Just a note.
What were you doing when you were 16, Max?
Trying and failing to kiss girls, wondering why I had so many spots, doing quite well at school. That was it. Scott.
I was wondering, how could I tell a certain girl to stop biting my lips when we were snogging?
Thomas, on the Facebook, Thomas says, Barry, does the studio look different sober? Carl says, Barry, not looking comfortable on camera. Kalal says, I'm tuned in from Uganda. Blimey. And Scott says, Barry is hungry. Keep those messages coming in. West Brom Derby, I've written, is Matt Phillips the next big money move? Look out for that. And I've also written, did you hear Tony Pulis afterwards?
We absolutely battered him, said after losing.
But he was 3 octaves lower than normal. So either he'd done a lot of shouting in that game or he'd had a massive session the night before. One of those two.
I noticed it was the first time in a very long time I'd seen Steve McLaren's hair island. I thought Derby's away shirts were a nice shade of spearmint, but I couldn't help thinking if I was wearing one of those, I would have just the smell of spearmint in my nostrils the whole time. Tom Ince's free kick, the wall was too far back,
okay.
Referee's fault. Mm. He got an extra yard. And Richard Keogh's goal line clearance was a thing of great beauty. As someone who wasn't very good at football as a child, I was left back.
Mm.
And I wasn't allowed to cross the halfway line. I didn't score goals. So all I had were goal line clearances. And I can appreciate a good one. Richard Keogh's was absolutely top drawer.
Our Facebook live stream has 27 viewers. So
does
far.
It?
Yeah. I know, like,
hello.
When you do one on Sky Sports because they've got 10 million, you get like 90,000 in a minute. But, you know, look, from small acorns. Sutton v Wimbledon, all we want to say is Pardew's cravat. You have any thoughts on it?
I thought he was rocking a good Nicholas Parsons look.
Mm-hmm.
The man beside him looked very sad. I took a picture.
Yeah, I saw it.
The man beside looks so depressed. I'll go to show the viewers on our Facebook stream. This will be the one of the benefits of tuning in. Right. So I have to go up here.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. So for our 27 viewers,
Look how sad the man...
Be careful with the cafetiere. It's going to fall over. On to Manchester United, Reading. Do you know that the two, Ashley Young and Romero's fouls, and they jumped in and they both could have been red cards, right? And they always say, oh, you know, he's not in control. And that phrase, he's not in control. When I was 12, right, I was at Jesus Green swimming pool in Cambridge and a bigger boy chased me out and punched me in the face. He was in total control for that whole time. As he swung his fist into my face, he was in control. I think you could still do a two-footed challenge and be in total control and it could still be a red card.
Okay. I don't really see how, like,
the idea
you getting
of,
punched in the
well,
face...
Well, I'm just saying it's possible to commit a terrible foul. If Bruce Lee was suddenly right back for West Brom,
oh, okay,
and he flew into someone at head height with a spinning kick, he'd be in total control.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney is now equal Bobby Charlton's record. Do you want to do an hour and a half on whether Wayne Rooney is good or not good at football?
He's very good at football.
There we are.
I think he's not as good at football as he used to be, but his record speaks for itself. There was controversy over a shirt swap.
Oh, yes, the Reading player.
Who was the Reading player?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it looks that Rooney went to offer to swap shirts, and the Reading player appeared to snub him. Lots of people went on Twitter. I think he was a former Manchester City player. Lots of Manchester City fans were gleefully trumpeting the fact that he wouldn't swap shirts with Wayne Rooney. And it turned out that he didn't want to swap shirts on the pitch because he thought it would be disrespectful to the travelling Reading fans.
George Evans.
After getting such a hiding.
And just one
so
more.
So they swapped in the tunnel instead.
Preston Arsenal. I thought Giroud should have done that celebration again, the one that he got absolutely caned for. And I was listening to our commentary and flicking with the competition. I heard Kevin Kilbane, and he was...
Fan of the show.
Fan of the show.
And kills elephants.
Well, that's it.
And club seals.
He admitted to be broadcasting in a... His hat was a hide of a head of a gnu that he had shot dead at point-blank range on the plains of Botswana. Big game hunter Kevin Kilbane.
Sorry, one other observation from Manu. When Rooney equaled Charlton's record... I thought at first that Bobby Charlton wasn't clapping.
Ah, yes.
But he was just doing... He wasn't moving his hands apart very far.
Oh, so he was doing that small clap.
And also, Bobby Charlton's wife, Norma, Lady Norma Charlton, was at the football. She's always there by his side. Now, my question is this. Does Lady Norma Charlton like going to football? Or does she go under duress? Or... Is she the one in the relationship who loves going to watch Manchester United? And Sir Bobby
he doesn't
goes
want to go
under
until.
Duress. He actually doesn't want to go. He would rather be out going around the shops.
Or playing golf.
Sitting at home watching the racing.
Bobby, if you're listening, 81089 on the text, do you like football? Is that your question? Barry's question is, Bobby Charlton, do you like football?
Yeah.
This is the warm-up on TalkSport. That's the latest single from Bastille. It's called Blame. Woody is the drummer from Bastille, and he's a massive Plymouth fan. He's on his way to Anfield. Woody, good morning.
Good morning, Max. How are you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, very well. Say hello to Barry.
Hi, Barry. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thanks, Woody. Are you on a bus full of drunken reprobates from down south, or are you in a car?
I'm not. I'm actually in my car, driving hands-free, I might add, safely, with my good friend from South Africa. I've basically converted him to be a Thomas Argyle fan.
Oh, poor guy.
Say hello, Keith.
Hello, Keith.
No, he's been quiet. Hello, boys. There he is.
So how you feel? I mean, like, you've obviously been on a lot of big stages. You've toured the world now, Woody, but... Is this bigger than any of that? Anfield, when the FA Cup third round draw happens, I don't know, as a Cambridge fan, I want Liverpool away or Man United away. That's sort of top two I would go for. You?
Those are the exact two, yeah, for me as well. Obviously, Liverpool, pretty much the most free-scoring team, I think, in the Premier League right now, so it should be a pretty tough day for us. But if they do play some of the kind of younger kids, I reckon they won't have come across the likes of Sonny Bradley before in centre defence, so he'll just basically kick him up in the air. So hopefully they'll get us through 90 minutes.
Now, Woody, would you rather they fielded a full-strength team or would you be happy enough for them to put out a team of kids?
I think either way. I mean, it's a banana skin for them. I mean, even if we lose, it's still a win for us because, I mean, we were in administration 5 years ago, so it's a massive cash boost for us. And basically, the kind of longer they go without scoring, the more hopefully the crowd's going to get on their back. So, I don't know. It'll be a fun day out, and I wouldn't bet against a Graham Carey wonder goal at some point.
It's funny, isn't it? You know, you get the draw and you're excited, but now you're on the way to the game. You can hear it. You're thinking about winning this game. You're not just there for the fun, are you?
Oh, massively. I mean, I also wouldn't mind a draw and take it back to home park. That'd be good as well. But yeah, I mean, I would take a 1-0 ricochet off someone's bum, if I'm honest. But yeah, it'll be a fun day.
Oh, it's so exciting. I listened to your manager on breakfast the other day. He was saying it's the first. He's just bought a player, and it's the first time in his managerial career, I think, that he's ever actually paid money for a footballer. You've signed a player with money, Woody. What does that feel like?
It's surreal. I don't think we've done that in about 10 years. But it's funny because, I mean, you guys chatting earlier about the kind of standard league too. It's like I don't think it's quite as bad as you kind of painted. There's a lot of very talented players. You just can't get a game in higher leagues. So they seem to be kind of dripping down into lower leagues on free transfers and loans and that sort of stuff. So. Yeah, I mean, at the minute, you don't necessarily need to pay for players down that way because there's so much talent floating around.
Who is this player you've paid money for, and what kind of pressure is he under?
if it's a player I'm thinking of, because I've heard the deal was about to go through, but I'm not sure if it's confirmed. I'm guessing it is now. It's Blissett from Torquay United. I think he paid about 30 grand for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's it.
Obviously, big money signing. So, yeah, he's going to have to start banging in goals pretty soon for us.
All right, I'm going to make you an offer, Woody. 3-0 win at Anfield, but you finish in the playoffs, you don't get automatic promotion.
No, I'll take the third place trophy right now, please. I just want to get out of League 2.
So, Woody, are you being chased by the police? I can hear a siren in the back.
No, but after ambulance going past, everyone seems to have gone right, but sat-nav's saying to go straight on. So, if I make it to the game, it might be a miracle now, because I think I'm lost at Liverpool. But we'll see how we go.
What's the highest? What's the greatest moment of Plymouth's history? What is like the, you know, everyone, because you know, if you're a Cambies fan, everyone says John Beck, you know, that run in the early 90s. That's what people remember. I can't think off the top of my head of, you know, the glory day for Plymouth.
There was probably two periods. So we made the semi-finals of the 84 World Cup when we were playing in the old Division 3, it would have been then. So in the third tier, but knocked out by Watford. In 84, I mean, I was a mere twinkle and my dad died then at that point. But and then latterly, when we were being managed by Ian Holloway, we were flying high in the Championship, and we were fourth at the time. He decided to then leave, join Leicester and get them relegated instead, but obviously that was his choice. But yeah, that was that same season, we got knocked out by Watford in the quarterfinals. I think that was 2007, I think.
I was at a Plymouth game against Barnet. A bloke I work with is a Plymouth fan, so we went to Plymouth Barnet in the Cup. I think this was when Plymouth were in the Championship. And Scott Sinclair was there on loan from Chelsea, and he scored the greatest goal I've ever seen in my life.
That was ridiculous. I've seen it. It was absolutely. I think he ran from basically our penalty box, skinned the entire team, and then smashed it home.
Yeah, from a really tight angle, roofed it. After beating about six players, it was incredible. He was only like 16 or 17 at the time.
Yeah, he was a wonder kid. But I tell you what, watching Sky Sports News lately, it's like it's quite painful to see loads of ex-pilgrims that kind of banging in goals in the higher leagues. Like Ashley Barnes came from us, Dan Gosling, Joe Mason. All these kind of players who are doing really well in higher divisions. Punchin and Balassi as well.
Woody,
it's a little bit tough reading sometimes.
I've got another offer for you, Woody.
Okay. Go on, then. I'm listening.
Absolutely no musical success, all right? It never happened. You never got anywhere. You never made it. You were never a success. You had to get a proper job.
Yeah.
But 20 minutes off the bench today.
I reckon I could probably end at least three careers in like 20 minutes, yeah. I'll do it.
You're going to take it?
Yes, please, yes.
Okay,
I'll deal.
Pull a few strings. What's going on with Bastille at the moment? Are you touring soon? Or what's the latest?
So, yeah, we just finished our UK tour before Christmas. The song that you just played very kindly before I came on air, Blame, is our new single, which is out very, very soon. Hopefully that will be top of the charts in the near future, if everyone buys it, please. And yeah, we're basically going to be finishing up our European tour starting end of the month, and then we go to Russia, and then we've got a massive run in America, and then festivals all next summer, which are going to be announced pretty soon as well. Yeah, basically, I'm not going to be home for like the next 2 years.
Outside of the UK, where are you biggest, Woody? Well, you know, where would you say we are huge in Belgium?
Belgium's pretty good for us, actually. Like most of kind of Central Europe, like Germany. In fact, the kind of craziest fans we've ever had, basically in Poland, believe it or not, they are vociferous to say the least. America's going pretty well as well at the minute. So yeah, it's a very good headache to have. It just means we've obviously got quite a bit of ground to cover.
It's a good selection headache.
What's it like for you in America, Woody? Because I remember someone telling me, you know, he saw the Manic Street Preachers playing a stadium here in the UK, and then went to see them in America, and they were basically playing the back room of a pub. Is it similar for ye? And is there involve a lot of driving around in a Luton Transit van?
We got quite lucky in that because Pompeii off the last album was quite a big song. We basically kind of skipped about two or three levels of touring, so we went straight into kind of about 2,000 or 3,000 cat venues. So, but we have got mates who had to do that, just get in the back of a Sprinter and driving from Boise, Idaho to Fort Worth, Texas, or whatever. It's a lot of arduous driving to play to 8 people, the sound guy, and a dog.
Become like just a job for you now, or is it still, hang on, this is really, because it's been what, 4 or 5 years, I'm trying to think, since you sort of burst onto the scene, or is it less time than that?
We've been this as an actual job. We got a record deal in the 2011, so people often ask, like, do you not get bored of playing the same songs each night? But I genuinely don't. Like, we're incredibly fortunate to kind of do this for a living, and I'm also acutely aware that it's not generally the kind of longest career out there. So, yeah, we're just making the most of it while we can and really enjoying it, and obviously getting to see parts of the world as well at the same time.
But you'd swap it all for a chance to go in two-footed on the Liverpool left-back, whoever's playing today. Give us a score prediction, please, Woody.
It's going to be 2-2 to the Greens. Graham Carey won the goal to equalise in the 90-plus-5th minute.
Top man, Woody. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Drive safely. Woody from Bastille on the way. And that's how positive he is. It's 2-2 to Plymouth. That's how positive he can be.
I admire his optimism, but would just be like to be there beside him to see the look on his little face as Plymouth go 4-0 down after 18 minutes and his dreams shatter. Is that wrong?
It is wrong. We're on live on Facebook. This is, you know, from Small Acorns. Lee Wainwright says, only 30 viewers. I got more when I went live taking my dog for a walk. Hey, but someone else says, this is the first ever, I can't wait for the first ever televised game of Ian Culverhouse. Coming in a sec.
On digital radio and 1089 and 1053 AM. Talk Sport.
A bit of news just in. Crewe have sacked their manager, Steve Davis. Academy director David Artell replaces Davis with immediate effect. This is the warm-up on TalkSport. Max Rushton, Barry Glendening, for the first time ever, live on Facebook, on my page, which no one can find. It's time ever for the first ever televised game of Ian Culverhouse. How are you feeling, Barry? Excited?
Nervous.
You haven't drunk for over a week, so...
Yeah, day 8.
Should be absolutely flying. Let's have a game. David Kerslake.
Billy McKinley.
Paul Goddard.
Chris Bart Williams.
John Bailey.
Jason Dizell.
Mike Hooper.
Peter Hooker.
Steve Antrobus.
Gary Bannister.
Kevin Drinkle.
Again with the Drinkle. I thought it was dry January, actually. Shouldn't be allowed drink. Eddie McGoldrick.
Gary Penrice.
Andy Linnigan.
Phil Stamp.
Robbie Mostel.
Peter Fear.
Lee Bradbury.
Michelle Vonk.
Neil Ardley.
Richard Edgehill.
Nigel Jemson.
Frank Yallop.
Imre Varadi.
Eric Edman.
Guy Whittingham.
Ian Culverhouse.
Damn!
Yes.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, The Warm-Up with Max Rushton on Talk Sport.
Good afternoon, you are listening to The Warm-Up on TalkSport. Max Rushton and Barry Glendening here until one. After us, live commentary of Liverpool versus Plymouth in the FA Cup and Spurs versus Aston Villa as well on TalkSport 2. Commentary of Chelsea versus Peterborough. There's been a goal at the Cardiff City Stadium. Over to Lawrence Mora.
Yeah, there has. It's Cardiff 1, Fulham 2. 33 on the cook. Sonny Aluko tapping in from close range. The ball made it down the right-hand side, was crossed in. A shot that was seen to come up off the bar, the Cardiff bar, dropped down. Aluko just a couple of yards out and tapped it into an empty net. So the visitors in front. Cardiff 1, Fulham 2.
Thanks very much, Lawrence. There's some feedback on Culverhouse here. Paul McCann was nervous the first televised Culverhouse would disappoint like hyped matches. Barry moans about no need. Classic. X-Max. That's to me. Josh says, Steve Anthropus used live on Facebook during Culverhouse. His mum will be proud. Big fella. If ever a voice did not suit the person, Barry Glendening.
Ben, the Spurs fan from Fareham. Glendening has a proper face for radio. Culverhouse rushed in the form of his life.
Phil says, very tense Culverhouse there. 110% effort from both. Despite my research and looking at the website, the game remains a mystery. Kevin says, I don't get the game. What are the rules, please? Jeff, amazing contest. Will you be releasing it on DVD in time for next Christmas?
Charlie's been in touch to say, technically, Jason Dazell shouldn't count because his lad Andre started for Ipswich against Lincoln yesterday. Great quickfire Man City section in the middle, says Charlie in Vauxhall. Thanks for that, Charlie.
And Michael says, seeing Culverhouse live on Facebook, we are live on Facebook, was like when Dorothy met the Wizard of Oz. Right, it's time for Footballers Are Nice. Today's contestant is the former, this is big, Liverpool, Swindon, Celtic, Aberdeen, Millwall, Cardiff, Fulham, Leeds, Norwich, Barnsley, Hull, Leicester, Charlton, Leeds again, Scunthorpe, Tranmere, Wellington, Phoenix, Floriana, Blackpool, Accrington, Stanley, Trinidad and Tobago goalkeeper, Tony Warner. Tony, how are you?
All right. Yeah, I'm not too bad. Yourself?
That's a lot of clubs. Where's Floriana?
Out in Malta.
Oh, how was that? Was that nice?
It was actually living in the Med, but they weren't paying me. So it was nice. It was nice in one way, not so nice in the other.
Were they meant to be paying you?
Of course they were, yeah. I had to think to the tribunal and they coughed up. They coughed up at the 11th hour.
That's nice of them. Otherwise, we'd start a campaign. Justice for Tony. We'd fly to Malta and get you your money. Now, Tony, have you been told about this feature? Are you going in blind?
A little bit blinded. Yeah. I got a little bit of a brief, but not that much. Go on.
Here we go. Right. So it's Footballers Are Nice. It's in its third year now, trying to find nice footballers, and we start with a very technical question. Are you nice, Tony Warner?
I can be.
Okay. Do you do anything nice? We've had footballers on here with their own charity foundations. Johnny Jackson might be arranging. He said he'd start a foundation under the pressure of live radio. He might be doing a pub quiz that we might host for Prostate Cancer UK, Barry. Do you know that?
It's first I heard.
Yeah,
of
I know.
It.
Are you in?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Other people, Mickey Quinn came on and just asked for money. So like there is a spectrum. Nice. There's a spectrum here, Tony. Where do you fit?
Probably bang in the middle. Look, I'm charitable. As much as next fella, but setting up my own foundation, I haven't kind of got that far down the line yet, and probably not for me, even being honest with you. So, probably on the not so nice girl.
Okay. But, you know, for the interest of this radio feature, we'll say you are nice, because then you qualify to answer these 16 questions, Tony Warner.
Oh, go on then. Okay. Fair enough.
Tony Warner, if Barry and I were to come for dinner, what would you cook for us?
I would probably cook you my best hangover cure, which would be scrambled egg with salmon on toast.
So we're coming for breakfast then, is it?
We might have, what if we've had a good night out and we've stayed over? We've got lucky with Tony. That's what's happened.
Legal. That's probably what happened. You're probably going to come for a night out, aren't you? I'm going to come for dinner. Boring. Come on, get on it. Bit of madness. Bit of breakfast in the morning.
Oh, I love that.
Off your pop.
Sleep over at Tony Warner's. Great.
Tony, if you were coming to our house for dinner and we asked if there was anything in particular you didn't want to eat, what would you say?
I'd probably say capers. Don't really like them. I always have to kind of discard them and anything that when you pop up.
Yeah, they're a bit salty, aren't they?
Really? Yeah. Mm. I'll happily shovel in.
Do you do your own laundry?
Yes.
Good man.
Do you recycle, Tony?
Not really, no.
Okay, step it up if you would. Okay. When did you last take public transport, like a bus or a train, Tony Warner?
I last took a train about 2 weeks ago down to London. Okay.
Were you in the cheap seats or first class with the serviette against your head?
I was in the cheap seats.
Oh, good man.
Yeah. Well, I was doing that. I was waiting for a mate who works on a train who sometimes upgrades me, but he wasn't on that day, so unfortunately, cheap seats it was.
Oh, it's who you know, isn't it? You get a free tea, don't you?
A little bit more as well.
Tony, what's your favourite insect?
The tough question. Insects. It's stumped a few. Emmanuel Frimpong said antelope.
Along those lines, ant, just because I've always kind of thought of it, because, you know, my name starts with Anthony, and that's for only that reason.
No, good reasoning. Do you own a onesie, and if so, do you wear it?
No, I don't own a onesie. Oh, in fact, yes, sorry, I do own a onesie. It's one that I train in sometimes. Sometimes at Bolton, where I work at the moment, if we're down on keepers and the weather's bad. No, it is a quite specific circumstance. We train on the Astro turf, and I've got a goalkeeper onesie.
Oh, is it padded? Is it sort of padded around the hip area?
Oh yeah, it's padded around the hips, the elbows, the shoulders, everything. I mean, you know, at 42, you don't need to have too much on that. So with these young snappers running around and firing shots in from all angles,
good for you.
So we need a little bit of protection.
Yeah, practical ones, I like.
Yeah.
Tony Warner, what is your favourite cheese?
My favourite cheese is Edam.
Okay. You're on death row, Tony. Sorry about that. With 1 hour to go, which TV show do you settle down to watch?
Oh, that's a good one. I need a few laughs before the, you know, the inevitable checkout. It would probably be
Dickinson's Real Deal.
No, I'll plump for the Mighty Boosh.
Oh yeah, good choice.
Yeah,
you're not happy with that, Barry?
No.
Why?
I just don't get the Mighty Boosh. I used to live with a Mighty Boosh obsessive who practically stalked Noel Fielding, and I just didn't get it.
Well, they speak highly of you, Barry, don't they?
No, it's fine. I appreciate other people like it. It's just not for me.
Okay.
Anyway, Tony, if you could only eat one fruit for the rest of time, which one would you choose?
I would probably go for blueberries.
Really?
Never seem to get bored of them. They're just nice, aren't they?
Very, very expensive, though.
They are.
They are very expensive, yeah, I know.
You only can get them because the Maltese paid you. That's right, isn't it?
True, yeah. It was a blueberry free zone before the Savio kicked in.
How many toilets do you have, Tony?
Five.
Five toilets. You know, that's sort of, it's in the European place, isn't it? It's pushing for Europa League. Mark Schwarzer was on Fantasy Football last week. Nine toilets, Schwarzer. But five is plenty. It's something to aspire to, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the good thing with nine, you're never going to go into, you know, no one's going to have to say to give that 10 minutes, mate.
Exactly right. Unless you've got 10 people over and you all go at the same time. It's a rare occurrence, isn't it?
Tony, do you have more televisions than David O'Leary, who, according to Tony Cascarino, has 11?
No, I don't.
How many do you have?
One, two, three, four, Six.
What a great
toilets than, or more TVs than toilets.
Just a classic, a great game, a last minute winner for the tellies against the toilet. 6-5. Tony, what kind of pants do you prefer? Boxers, jockey, wide front. You can be Commando John Hartson, never wearing pants when you see him on the telly.
Well, do you know what? Well, I only wear a smile in bed, and when I used to play football, I never used to wear pants until I got told by the physio it was quite dangerous. Oh. Because you can be flinging around everywhere and you can get caught with the footy on a wayward stud.
So when we're watching like Sky Sports Gold and you're on in playing for Liverpool, you've got no pants on there.
Well, I never actually played for Liverpool. I didn't get a game there. But any time I was playing for Millwall or Celtic or Cardiff, just pants free.
Good to know for the Millwall fans to know.
But you know what? Interesting one, I was playing against West Brom and the ball got banged into our left back position and Real Fox goes flying after it and it was at the Hawthorns and I'm legging out now and I'm thinking I'm going to have to this with my left foot because Real Fox isn't going to give me a second and as I'm sprinting it all just come out it just all rolled up and I remember having to run and I'm thinking I'm not for my left foot anyway but I'm going to have to take care of this and it's with my left foot and I thought this can just go wrong. I could have an air shot but I think I squashed it into like Rogue D or something, and then just sprinted back in. A bit red-faced through what happens and through, having to sprint 30 yards there and 30 yards back.
Rule Fox got an eyeful, that's good to know.
He did, yeah.
Tony, are you better looking than West Brom's Jonas Olsen?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you smell nicer than Michael Carrick?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
And finally, Tony, are you nicer than Linvoi Primus?
Am I nice and Linvoi Primus? Probably not. Do you know what? Do you know why? Because I was on trial at Cardiff at Charlton years ago, and I was staying in my uncle's down there, and he used to get the train. And when I come out the train station, there was Linvoi Primus in his little Golf GTI, and he gave me a lift.
Oh, what a wonderful way to finish this chat. More proof that Linvoi is the nicest man in football. Tony, thank you so much for your time. Did you have a nice day?
I've
got my say. Hopefully
it's going to get a little bit better.
Six tellies, five toilets, Tony Warner. Very nice man. Thank you very much. We'll do it again next week. In just a second, we'll chat to John McClure, a big Sheffield Wednesday fan from Reverend and the Makers, and we'll chat to SAG as well. And it's Barry's Quiz. Let's say hello to John McClure from Reverend and the Makers. We just heard his music. How are you, John?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very, very well. You excited about the game today, playing Middlesbrough? Do you know, it wouldn't surprise me if you won this game. It wouldn't be like a giant killing, would it?
No, I suppose Borough have got, the priority of staying in the Prem. Although, to be honest, I think we need to focus on the league because we want to try and get back in the big time, don't we? So it's not a massive priority for us. The FA Cup, I wouldn't be too upset if we went out. I'd like to see a few of the youngsters giving a go. Young George Hurst. His dad were a club legend, David Hurst. I'd like to see him.
Is he there? Is the son of David Hurst playing for you?
He is. He's firing, mate. He's playing in the England youth setup, cracking him in. They reckon he's going to be some player. So, hoping he might get a start today, maybe.
And Barry Bannon is doing the business. He's a quality player, isn't he?
Love little Barry. Yeah, he's amazing. I had the pleasure of going back and meeting all the players last week because Carl, our star manager, came to watch us at a gig. And he invited us back to his special room last week. So I got to meet little Barry.
What's in Barry Bannon's special room, John?
It's not Barry's special room. It's Carl the Howell's special room.
Oh.
Even Barry don't get in there. It's it's just where he takes his guests. We had steak and chips with Carlos last week. Fantastic.
Oh, that's decadence, isn't it? Do you think you can go up, John? I mean, you're playing. I saw you play. Did you beat Newcastle? I can't remember the game I watched you play.
Yeah,
and you looked really, really strong in that game, didn't you?
Yeah, we're great. You know, last couple of seasons since Carlos came in, and obviously we've got a new chairman, Ty Owners, putting a bit of money in and stuff. We've been great, unlucky not to go up at Wembley last year. And we're a great side. Maybe, I don't know, we've got Callum McManaman coming on loan, who, if we can get him firing, is a great player. We've all been hopeful of signing Jordan Rhodes for the last 75 seasons, so I'm hoping we might be able to tempt him away from Borough. His dad's our goalkeeping coach, so... You know, there might be a little bit of family, influence there. And hopefully while we're up at Borough, we can nab him and take him back on bus with us, maybe.
But Borough haven't... I think no one in the Premier League has scored fewer goals than Borough, or at least that was the case a couple of weeks ago. Why would you want one of their misfiring strikers?
Just because, if you remember what he was like for Blackburn and for Huddersfield at that level, and a bit for Borough end of last season. Great player, great number nine. Can run off. Well, we need somebody who can run in behind Leon. I'm a bit wary of saying this after Carlos has been so nice to us. It's a bit like him telling me how to write my lyrics, isn't it? But well, I don't know. I just think he could be the missing link, really, second half of the season, just to make that kind of... Because we're nicely placed in the playoffs, but if we want to make a push on automatic, we could do a real proven goal scorer at that level, and I think Rhodes is the man, really.
Actually, to be fair, I say he's misfiring. He hasn't really been given many opportunities this season, so maybe he'd be up for a move.
John, Michael says... Michael, sorry to butt in. Ask John if he still plays Football Manager in his bed with his laptop on his belly.
Oh, mate, I'm in my 10th season currently. We're Wednesday. I've got a Champions League. I've won a League Cup. Sadly defeated in two Euro Cup finals.
Bad
but
luck.
That's me, you know. Missus falls off to sleep. Puts a bum on my leg and I just lay a laptop on my belly having a bit of a game, yeah, lovely.
Now, John, Barry's made a quiz today, right? And it could work with just me, but Barry said that John could play as well. Now, you don't have to. If you don't want to play, you can just hang up. And if you want to play, stay on the line and we'll give you like 5 seconds to decide. Okay, John?
All right, well, let's have it. Okay.
So John's in for the quiz. That's good. Okay, Barry, the floor is yours.
Well, this is Barry's celebrity birthday quiz.
Okay.
I don't know if you know, John, 8th of January, a lot of celebrities were born.
Okay.
This date.
Okay, do you want some tension music?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'll call for that. Okay. So anyway, I'm basically going to put out a load of celebrity names,
mm-hmm.
and ye have to try and guess what age they are today.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, some of them are dead.
Okay.
So you have to guess what age they would be
if they
were still alive.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with...
do you want some music now? Tension music?
No.
Okay.
You just focus on your answers.
Okay, right, okay.
And anyone at home is welcome to play along.
Okay, good.
Going to go
good
with
luck, John.
A nice, easy one to start. Mm. This day last year, David Bowie died.
Mm.
Androgynous rock star of the 60s and beyond, who reinvented pop music with singles such as Space Oddity and Starman, was born around the corner from where I live in Brixton,
mm-hmm.
on 40 Stansfield Road.
Okay.
So he died this day last year. If he hadn't died, what age would David Bowie be today?
Who's going first?
You can go first, Max.
Is it 70?
John?
I think you've got a bit big there, Max. I'll go 66.
It's 70.
Oh,
Max.
Come on.
So Max goes 1-0 up, okay. Early lead.
Okay.
Right, next one. Now, Max, I'm quite confident you will have no idea who this person is.
Okay.
John, I reckon you'll know who Robbie Krieger is.
Never heard of him, Paul.
Oh.
Did he play for Borough?
No, he played for The Doors. He was a guitarist, wrote Light My Fire and Love Her Madly.
Okay.
Listed at number 76 in Rolling Stone's list of the 100 greatest guitarists of all time.
Okay.
What age is Robbie today?
Oh, he's 73, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie is 77.
No, he is 71.
Oh.
Happy birthday to you, Robbie.
So John gets a point, does he?
No,
he got
it wrong.
Oh.
So,
wow. So Max 1, John 0.
I reckon it could be a 1-0, John, but I'm enjoying the quiz.
No, okay.
George Graham's Arsenal view, Max.
David Silva, Manchester City midfielder, was born on this day.
27.
31.
Correct, John.
Oh.
Well done.
Oh, he looks young, doesn't he? Well done.
1-1. Great. One.
What an equaliser from McClure.
Okay.
That's what he managed your knowledge of that, mate.
Yeah, well done.
Right, the next man has appeared on The Simpsons. He created a cosmology that relied on the unification of theory of relativity and quantum physics and was a cox for the Oxford rowing team before being incapacitated with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Professor Stephen Hawking's birthday today. What age is he?
John. 66.
Oh, 63.
Nah, you're both way off. 75.
Oh. Wowza.
Yeah. Producer's saying get a shift on, Barry.
Okay, next one. Elvis Presley, What age would he be today if he was not dead, if he had not died in Graceland many years ago?
81.
John?
85.
Oh, 82.
Oh, damn it.
One more.
Okay.
North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un celebrates his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Kim, if you're listening or watching live on the Facebook.
He, and it's a tiebreaker. Whoever's closest wins.
He's 30.
32.
Max wins. He's 34.
Oh, Max.
Hey, well played, John. I enjoyed
well
the
played,
game.
Pal.
Good luck this afternoon. Good luck this season. Hope you win everything and go up. But I say that to every guest, and when they're gone, I don't really mind what happens. John McClure there from Reverend and the Makers. This is the warm-up on TalkSport. Great quiz, Barry. Well done.
Thank you, Max.
They were the best bits of the show. I did it, and Barry did it, didn't
you? Yeah, tell you first of all, I think we need to get up the iTunes charts a bit. We're too low.
Are we not really high on it?
I have no idea. I'm just guessing we're not.
Oh. Why are we not high on the iTunes chart? Because... Are we not publicised enough? How are we below the two mics?
Marketing budget just doesn't call for it.
Say again?
Marketing budget just doesn't call for it.
Seriously, we're below the mics.
That's awful. You know, the mics do live shows.
Do you want to do Edinburgh for a week? Genuine question, Barry. I was chatting to my agent, right? Saying, you know, what am I doing with my life? What should I do? Blah, blah, blah. Really want to get on like a panel show like The Apprentice, You're Fired, just to be fun. They were like, well, everyone has to go and do live in Edinburgh. Do you want to do a week in Edinburgh?
Who'd be paying for the rental of the venue and the programme? Oh. You know, it's very expensive to do Edinburgh.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm not paying for it. I'll do it if you pay for it.
How much does it cost?
It would, to do a week, would probably cost, it depends how big a room. But
well, a tiny room, because I don't think anyone would come.
I think it would cost about $5,000 minimum.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I put it?
And you won't make your money back.
Can I put it on? Can I put it through the company?
Yeah.
Oh, $5,000.
I could consult with my mate who works for.
What should we do?
Big comedy agency.
What would our live show be? I thought it'd just be reading out Twitter insults mainly.
Yeah, I'm not sure people would come and see us, to be honest.
Quite a few hundred thousand people listen to the radio show. I know they're not in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Should we have a pint?
No, we can't. Let's discuss it on the 1st of February over a pint.
Are you allowed to crack on the 29th of January?
No. What's on the 29th?
Well, that's a Sunday, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Right.
Okay, well, no, but I just genuinely, we could do a lot. I mean, like, someone would go, wouldn't they?
Maybe.
Would anyone go?
Possibly not.
You know, I used to be on Soccer AM.
But I like Edinburgh.
Yeah, I love it.
So I'd be well up for a week.
Doesn't matter if no one comes. We don't have to charge for tickets, do we?
Well, you do the free fringe.
Yeah.
So then we definitely wouldn't make any money.
I don't care if we don't make it. Depends how much it costs.
Yeah. But you work on television. You've more money than me.
Yeah.
I'm a humble newspaper monkey.
All right, I understand. Well, okay. Well, look, we'll work on that. If you listen to the pod, let us know if you'd come to watch our live show. Thanks.